Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 102 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is December 1st, and this time Katie and I are recording in my brand new craft room. Yay! It's so cozy, and this will probably be the longest time I've spent other than when I first moved all of the craft stuff in here and spent a little time organizing. It still needs stuff on the wall. There may be a little bit of an echo because there's not much on the wall. But, we are also joined by Nyx, who is trying to get my fiber. She loves fiber. Nyx is our little black kitten. But anyway, I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and everywhere else as Summer Yarns.
I'm Katie, KDB on Ravelry or KDBKT on Instagram.
And like I said, this is also Nyx, who is currently now attacking my knee. So we'll have kitty shenanigans. Lock the dog out because she was doing some heavy breathing and we figured no one wanted to hear that. So, I think we'll have a fairly normal episode today. I don't have a whole lot of finished objects and I have really been focusing on just a few things, but we are going to a party for a friend's 50th birthday tonight and figured beforehand was a good time to record. This cat is just so darn cute. All right. I know how no one wants to hear all about the cat. Okay, so I will start with finished objects. I only have a couple, actually. I only have one knitted FO, and it is actually packaged for the party tonight, so I don't have it to show, but I did finish the Payday socks, which was a pattern by Leah Oakley. I don't remember if it was a free pattern or not. I don't think so. I used Destination Yarns in the Karachi colorway. And I think the word I want to use is spicy. Like it had, it was really warm tones with pops of like turquoise and hot pink. And I don't even remember what all the colors were, but it was really, really nice to work with. If that is a yarn I would absolutely endorse. It was the first time I had used it, and I actually just ordered myself some today. So that's my only knitted finished object. And then spinning, I have a braid of fiber that I just finished. It's Twin Mommy Creations. It's 100% domestic top in the medley colorway, and I actually just soaked it today, so it's a little damp. I don't know what the 100% domestic top is. I don't know what yarn that, or if there's a standard sheet that typically comes from. It's a little bit more rustic than what I usually prefer to spin, but it turned out pretty. When I soaked it, it bled like crazy. I'm like immediately, so it's got like purples and kind of terracottas and turquoise and greens. Some like pops of really bright, like almost lime green in here somewhere. I can't find it now, but the purples it bled so badly immediately. So I had some Synthopol sitting right there, and I put a capful in there and then switched it around, poured it out, or like drained the water and filled it up again with more Synthopol and let it soak, and then rinsed it out, and then I rinsed it in the the bathtub, where I could really, really rinse it good. And it seemed to be running more clear. It was running pretty clear, so I think it was just excess dye. I don't think there was a problem. She is desperately trying to take this. But anyway, so those are my only two FOs. What about you?
I finished my In the Light by Casey Crozier. Tangerine Designs, Casey Daycruiser. I used Plucky Knitter in a couple different colors. A blue called Voices Carry, a blue-purple called Julia Guglia, and a pink-purple called Pinky Swear. So that's an asymmetric garter stitch shawl. It does have like a lace section at a very simple eyelet lace section at the bottom, the last like 10 or 20 rows, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to count. And it looks fine without it, so. And then I did the drop fringe version. So I finished that.
I'm gonna put her out. Come here. She's perp. She is very skilled with passive resistance. Oh. So that's your only FO2, right?
Yeah.
So active whips, like I said, I've been working pretty steadily on the same things. I'm almost done with the Night Shift by Andrea Mowry. I'm using various skeins of handspun. I think I talked about all of them more in depth in the last episode, and it's 6 different colors. I don't really want to go into all of them right now, but I am on the last 2 colors. So the last 2 are, one of them is Shirsty Cat, and it was Merino Tencel, and I don't remember if there was a colorway, but it's actually it reminds me of chocolate covered cherries. It's got some kind of brownish.
Looks bricky. Like,
yeah.
Like red kind of.
It's got some red with like, it's got softer reds and then deeper reds, but all of them have more of a, they're not bright reds. They're not jewel tones. I don't know how you would describe it, but that is one. And I'm actually pulling from both ends on that, so I have a thicker yarn. And then the other one is, oh gosh, Fragis Fibers in the Redwood Forest colorway. And it's mostly like a really pretty teal with like a wheat colorway, I guess. That would be close, kind of a taupe-ish colorway. There's a lot of barber pulling, but then there's also sections where it's just one of the 2 colors. And like I said, I am on, there are 10 sections, I believe, and you start, this is a fade, so you start with one color and then fade in different colors and various different combinations. And
I want to make one, but I'm not ready to purl yet.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of purling because you do have to purl on the way back. I wonder what it would look like in garter. I don't know if it would work.
I think you'd lose some of the texture.
Yeah, but it's not huge, and I was reading, I was reading the message or the Ravelry
comments,
or the forum posting in her group, and that seems to be fairly standard. I think I can't figure out which side is what, but I think once it's blocked out, it'll probably be. Or maybe this is the longer end. Yeah. Once it's blocked out, probably. I mean, it's already almost my wingspan.
You would want to block it horizontal, yeah, not vertical.
Right. And it's, you know, at this point, I'm...
It would be drapier, too, yeah, once it's been soaked and blocked.
The sections are either, oh gosh, I can't remember, 24 rows or maybe 12 rows. Most of them are 24. But there are a couple of shorter sections, and I'm on one of the longer sections, and I'm not quite halfway through with it, so I still have another, well, here's one of the sections. So I have another 2 to 3 inches before it will be finished anyway. So I think it's going to be plenty long, and I think it will grow considerably. This has just been a really, really addictive knit.
Well, and it's dense. Unless you wanted a blanket.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I would want to stretch it. I mean, if it's going to be useful at all here,
yeah,
then I want it to stretch pretty good and reduce some of the density.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be the right word. But it is super addictive. I've hardly been able to put it down. Let's see, what else? At work, I have a pair of vanilla latte socks, and that is a free pattern by Virginia Rose Jeans, who happens to be my mother. And I'm making those for my son's fiance. The colorway is Witching Hour. It's by Mint Rain. And it is two shades of gray, which I thought it was a purple, but it is actually, it's a really dark gray that all, it kind of has a blue overwash, or maybe it's a dark blue with a gray overwash. It's a, like a really, really dark denim, but when it's next to the lighter gray, it just looks like two shades of gray. And then a stripe of neon green and orange. And I finished one sock and am on the foot. I do toe up. Sorry, I picked up my phone to look at show notes and had a message from a childhood friend in Mississippi. That was, like, whoa. But anyway, I'm on the foot of the second sock. And I'm working on them exclusively at work, but they will be, that will be plenty of time to be done by Christmas. Sorry, I can usually get the row, the stripes are only about 3 or 4 rows each. And it's a, she wears, they wear a size, well, actually I have no idea, but Eli said that they have the same size shoe and he wears a men's 7.5. So it's like a 9.5 inch foot or something like that. So I may get him to try them on at some point, but at this point I'm like, if they don't fit, I will fix it somehow. But anyway, I also have another pair of socks that I'm working on here. I'm doing a variation of Socks on a Plane by Laura Linneman. Her pattern is cuff down, and I'm doing toe up, and hers uses a flapping gusset, and I am doing a OMG heel by Megan Williams. But the cable pattern down the side of the foot is the same. It's just a very simple cable. So I'm using hand spun that I spun from created by LCB. I think it's a BFL silk, but I don't have the band. And the colorway was Christmas time. So this is this year's pair of Christmas socks. They're, I knew that. they're a little, like it's a, I'm actually super impressed because this is a 3-ply. And there are places where it is lace weight. It was a super fine spin, which I am not, I usually spin like the deep, like anywhere between a heavy fingering to a light worsted, like that range, like DK-ish. And this was unusual and successful. But it doesn't have a lot of stretch, and even using the Jenny Stretchy Bind Off, I am a little concerned about the stretchiness of the cuff. I'll just be careful when I put them on. I finished one sock and have finished the toe and a couple of repeats of the pattern on the second sock. And I suspect that they will be done by Christmas, but I'm, I don't really care if they are. It's more like Christmas knitting than having them. And then finally, I couldn't resist the Indie Gift Along sales. I ended up buying like 5 patterns that day when I was looking through them. But I, yeah, the last day of the sale, I ended up with about 5 different patterns. I don't even remember what I bought. But I decided, I have been wanting to do one of the gnome patterns by Sarah Shira. So I started, I bought the Here We Gnome Again pattern, which is the one, if you are familiar, these are just cute little gnomes. And the first pattern is very basic, hat, body, beard. And this one has cables, so it's a little more intricate. But I thought it, the cat is trying desperately to get in here. We'll have to decide if she's more of a distraction, banging on the door, or
throwing her body weight against the door.
or, you know, trying to grab our yarn. So
I'm singing the songs of her people, and then we'll see me hour.
Yeah, but not too bad yet. I'm more concerned about her doing something and, like, hitting the iPad I don't want to start over. But anyway, I started the Here We Know Him Again pattern today, and I am through the first cable repeat. And you start with the hat, then pick up stitches for the body, and then add the beard and nose later. And I'm using, I had a couple of years ago, Dana of Unwind Yarn Company did a mini set for Christmas ornaments. They did a knit along on the Just One More Row podcast for the ornaments pattern that PBJ Stokes sold. I guess they sold it, and then I think the proceeds went to charity, but I don't remember what charity. Anyway, she sold this set, and they were kind of like not traditional Christmas colors. I don't know.
Like classic?
Yeah, they were, this one is like a gold, and then there's a cream or white that I'm going to use for the beard. There was also a blue and kind of a rose and a green, like a spruce green. And they were just really pretty, and they're sparkly. And I made one ornament with them. I might have done another one because it looked like I had broken into another skein as well, but I don't remember specifically what I used
it for. I remember you getting the yarn. Yeah. But
I just remember doing the little sweater pattern, and that one was green, and the green and the rose, and I did something else because the blue had been broken into, but I don't remember. Maybe when I did the hats last year, maybe
your garland.
Maybe one of those I did. But I'm using the gold, which is a very classic looking color, and the cream will be for the beard. And I'm planning to make this as a gift. I think it's going to go really quickly. So I'm doing that. Started it today, and I think that is all of my whips. I don't have any spinning on the wheel right now at all. Yep, that's it.
All I have is that I've actually worked on since we recorded last, my corner-to-corner crochet blanket, just using some Karen Hound of Love or 1 pound whatever, in a dark purple.
And the light, the one thing I need better light in here, like it looks brown in this light.
Yeah, some whiter light.
Yeah.
Yeah, so doing that, and then we've had some nice weather the last couple weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So
today was beautiful.
I've been sitting out on the patio knitting on my meld shawl, or it's called meld. It's more like a big long elongated scarf wrap. It's long, it's not necessarily deep. And you hold two strands of yarn together. I'm using Plucky Knitter in Oxford. I'm using various colors, like I'm going from a brown to a kind of a scummy green. I'm doing purple right now, and then a pink and a blue, holding that together with a gray. So I've hurt my arm knitting, so I didn't knit that much this week. That's why I didn't knit today, so I saved my arm for tomorrow. So I can knit tomorrow. That's all I've really got that I've been actively working on.
Let's see. Casting on soon. I have a couple of, I have one gift for another. The gnome was in this section until I couldn't wait. And then I have another pattern that I want to knit as a gift for the friend that I plan to give the gnome to for her husband. My husband found an article, or found something in Boing Boing or one of these sites that he reads, for an avocado sock, which is basically, it's just like a little knitted pouch that's the size of an avocado that you put it in. If you make it out of 100% wool, it apparently will actually ripen an avocado faster than like if you put it in a brown paper bag. And I think it will be just a fun, quick knitted gift for one of our friends who cooks. I think we may be going to Austin next weekend, and I think I might, that would be a good gift for them too. So that'll be a super quick, I might actually even do that tomorrow. I think that'll be really, really easy. And then I'm thinking, I don't know that I'm going to do this year. This may wait. But Sarah Shira also has a pattern that I bought called the Gunite Cap. I think it's Gunite Cap and not Gunite Hat. That is, it's the same hat I don't know if it's exactly the same cable pattern, but it's modeled on the hat that the gnome has. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who I think would really, really like it. Like, I was thinking about making it for the one friend who I'm making the gnome for, who would really think it was cute, but I don't know that, other than just a novelty, I don't know that she would ever actually wear it. Where the other friend, I think, actually might wear it and be goofy in it, so. It's just this long, like, stocking cap, like, you know, old-fashioned. It's really pretty. It's like a really pretty cable pattern. And I think... Grab it. It calls for a 340 yards of worsted, so I don't typically have it, but I have this Eat, Sleep, Knit special... Blue Moon Fiber Arts Targi 100% Targi worsted in these crazy colors that I think something to use it on, because I don't know what else I would use this for.
How much yardage is there?
It's a lot. It's 616 yards.
What's the weight?
It's worsted.
Yeah, is it weight, shawl?
Well, yeah, I could make, that's another thing I could do with it. But, we'll see. I don't think I have two skeins of any other worsted.
Did you ever finish your one yalza shawl?
No, I'm sorry, I keep getting up. I hope you're not losing me. It's nice to have all my yarn up here. it's been in a bag. I've been so monogamous on these little projects that I haven't gotten back to them. I also have, I think I actually got this from you. There was this tweed.
Okay.
That I have three skeins of this that I actually could, this would also work really well for that hat, so.
Okay, I don't remember that.
I don't remember, it's possible that I got it from,
I have some of that yarn. I have like a pink and a purple.
Yeah, it probably was yours, I don't know. It was either when we had the girls' night and you had a big bag that you let us go through, or it was when... We were still doing yarn people at the library, and someone brought in a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't remember, and it was nice stuff. So it was, I don't
think
there's
a Yarntopia tag on it, then that was probably mine.
I actually don't know. But anyway, so that might happen. What about you? Are you planning to cast on anything?
Did I put anything in the show notes?
Yes, you did. You put it in Mobius Shawl.
Oh, yeah, so, I talked about this last time. The Mobius shawl is a crocheted shawl using bulky yarn. And it only uses 300 or 400 yards. It's kind of one of those that's like a big honking cowl or like a wrap. You drape it and it stays on your shoulders. So I had wound yarn in one color. And I was kind of like, I'm going to have that in my office for just to throw on. Let me get like a gray or something that goes with most of what I wear. So that yarn came and I wound that last weekend or the weekend before. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. It's a free pattern. I've linked it in the show notes. It's a free pattern. So you crochet, you know, a chain of 60 or 64 or something like that, and then you follow the instructions on how to make a Mobius, and then you just keep going and keep going and keep going. Right. So, yeah.
Sorry. Sue was asking what time we were going.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, I'm not usually so distracted while we're recording, but that's what happens, I guess. Acquisitions. I actually have a few things and I don't feel guilty about them. So the first thing I bought was a skein of Bay Street Yarns DK in the Paradise Lost colorway. They did a a charity colorway for Paradise, California during when the town was lost during the campfire in California. So I wanted to support them. So I got, it's really pretty skein. It's got hot pink and turquoise and black and brown and kind of just lighter blues. It's just a really pretty variegated. I bought this specifically probably to do a Ricky. It'll be a hat for sure. I just think it would be really pretty. Or if not a Ricky, maybe just like a modified sock head. Think of something like that. Just a really basic, mm-hmm. something to show off the yarn and not a pattern. And then I also bought another skein of charity yarn. This one was from Shipwrecked Sheep, and she used her shop used to be Bayou City Yarn Company. But she is in the process of transitioning to Shipwrecked Sheep. Sorry. There's too much going on. Anyway, this, she did a dye-to-order charity drive, basically, over the week. It was like the second week of November, which was Transgender Awareness Week. And I wanted to support that. I can't remember what charity she was sending the money to, but my daughter saw the yarn and wanted socks out of it. So I have that, and she will eventually get socks, but not yet. I've got to finish the many other socks that I have on the needles right now. I also was asked, this is not acquisitions yet, but her roommate actually asked if I would make her a pair of, or she asked if she could buy a pair of socks for me, and I said I wouldn't sell her a pair of socks, but if she gave me yarn, if she bought the yarn, that I would knit a pair as a gift. Won't do that for everybody, but there's a small group of people that I'm willing to do that for.
As long as it's not black yarn.
As long as it's not black yarn. And as long as it isn't... I'll do it once. After that, I probably would charge. And then I also... only got a couple of things on Black Friday. Bought a couple of board games because there was a good sale. And then I got myself some fiber because my fiber stash is actually getting a little low. So I got... Into the World, it is Superwash Corydale, which I'm not sure I've spun before, and it is the Moxie colorway, which is like peachish pink and kind of a really light olive green, I think, and a darker kind of wine color, I guess. It is colors I like, but not what I typically buy. I gravitate toward greens. But I also really like autumn-y colors too. So
like fruit salad.
Yeah, actually. Cantaloupe. Yeah, with like the grapes and
green grapes and red grapes.
Yep.
I'm hungry.
And it was, I had a, she was having a sale, and so I chose, this was only $18 and it was 30% off. So I let myself get that. And then the last purchase that I have is, I bought 23 skeins of Knit Picks Wool of the Andes in the Icicle Heather colorway, which is just kind of a denim-y blue. A little bit of a gray tone to it. It's not that scratchy. I've heard people talk about it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't necessarily want it right next to my skin, but it's going to be a cardigan.
It may soften up too.
I think it probably will, but my husband...
Is it 100% wool?
It is.
Superwash?
It's 100% wool. It's not superwash. I decided to not go with superwash. I didn't want it to grow as much as superwash well, and it was also cheaper. So, my husband wants a sweater, and I am not confident in my ability to make one that fits super well, so I didn't want to spend a lot of money on the yarn for the first one anyway.
Well, and if he's not going to wear it.
Right. So, this is a good one to start out with and see how he likes it. So, I can't remember which pattern. Let me see really, really, really quickly if I can pull it up. I meant to put it in the show notes and I didn't. I was going to knit the Grandpa Gramps cardigan by Tin Can Knits because I really, really wanted to put the patches on the sleeves. There's nothing to say I can't put patches on the sleeves anyway. But, yeah, I started looking at it and it had, I think it has kind of like a shawl collar and this just didn't quite.
Not his style.
Not quite his style. But I mean, when he looked at it, I mean, he wasn't against it, but I found another one that I had queued and asked him. So this one, the one that I ended up, that I'm going to go with is the Fundamental Top Down Men's Cardigan by Jennifer Hagen, who is Jen something. Fighthead Yarn Works, I think it's her company name. And it's just a very classic cardigan. It has buttons it has kind of like a V-neck with buttons starting about mid-chest. And I don't think he'll ever really button it. So I don't know. But this, I think he picked the color. We sat and looked at Knit Picks website and pulled up all the colors and compared. And first he was like, there's too many U2s. And then he started looking. He's like, oh, I kind of like that one. No, well, okay, I kind of like that one. And then he narrowed it down. So it was a collaborative effort. And it was fun. And I'll probably swatch for that really relatively soon. So that's probably a casting on soon. I might make that maybe a Christmas Eve cast on or a New Year's cast on. But that's it. Other than I mentioned that I had bought Destination Yarns today. But I was going to buy the Leading Men Fiber Arts color of the month again, and I looked at it and I just didn't really like it that much. Actually, at least the picture of it was really close to one of the colors earlier this year, and I don't like it enough to have two colors that are that similar.
Right.
So I bought myself other yarn instead. What about you? You have Plucky on here.
Yeah, I bought, it was a long day. That was the day we went to Gregory School. I came back and she was doing some micro batches, which must be just like trial runs of experimental colors or whatever. And so she had one micro batch, 142 or whatever, not that that matters. But it was this really pretty, I would say blurple. It's like a purple blue. But it was on her Beauregard base. It's a DK. That one's a DK. It is cashmere and yak.
Oh, wow.
And it's like 300 yards of skein. It was reasonably priced, too. So, yeah, I need to take pictures of it. I've got it, but it's so pretty. The picture was very pretty. It was pretty as well. And I like yak. And all cashmere doesn't suck, so.
Yeah. I didn't like spinning yak, but I like the yarn that I have that I spun up with it is decadent.
Yeah.
So. I've never knit with it, though. I've never knit with yak in anything.
Well, I can hook you up because I've got a ton of Traveler, which is merino silk and yak.
It didn't.
And then I have, like, pure yak, which...
Tell me that it's still recording. Okay, it's still recording. Yeah, let me pause just a minute. Okay, sorry about that interruption. I was getting a phone call, and it was my daughter, so I wanted to make sure that everything was okay, and it was. I think we were getting ready to move into In the Kitchen. I might have cut Katie off. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Was that the base, the Plucky base that I used to when I ran out of yarn in the...
No.
No, okay.
That was alpaca and merino.
Okay, that was super, super...
There may have been cashmere.
I think there was some cashmere, too. That was super soft. Okay, now I will move to In the Kitchen. I don't actually have a whole lot, but I have been on this cookbook kick at work. I've been checking out and putting holes on different ones. And the only one that I feel like has been worth talking about was the Pi Squared cookbook, which I actually ended up buying on Thanksgiving. Because I'm like, yeah, this is gonna, I'm gonna use this a lot. So, or maybe I bought it the week before. But we, so it is the premise of this is, Well, it's slab pies, which I had never heard of before, but I think they're an old, kind of an old-fashioned pie thing. I don't know. But you make them in a big a quarter sheet pan, which is like a 13 by 9.
Like a jelly roll pan.
Yeah, but it's a smaller jelly roll pan. Like, I've had one that's like, I have a jelly roll pan that's like an 18 by something. And this is, which is probably a half sheet pan.
Yeah.
But this is a quarter sheet pan. And I wanted to test out the recipes before. Oh, yeah, I guess I bought it after Thanksgiving. Because I wanted to test the recipes first before I bought it. So Laura looked through it. Laura's my daughter. Looked through it over, I think, the weekend before Thanksgiving. She spent a lot of time with us over Thanksgiving because all of her roommates were gone. So she spent a lot of time over here. And so she was looking through it. And there were there's a whole lot of savory recipes. And then I think there are actually more savory recipes than there are sweet recipes. But the one that caught her, or at least the one that I decided to make that caught her attention, was a Moroccan shepherd's pie. And technically this was a Moroccan cottage pie, because apparently the difference is a shepherd's pie has lamb and a cottage pie has beef. And this was so frustrating because I was looking, there were a couple of ingredients that I needed. Like, I needed harissa paste, which is like a red pepper paste that's common in Middle Eastern cooking. And these things are not hard to find in Houston, and we have a really great grocery store chain called HEB, so I assumed that the one that I would typically go to would have it. Looked on the app, and if they didn't have it listed in the store where I typically go, but there was one that was closer by that had it. And when I was first looking, like, I needed ground lamb, but the one that had the harissa didn't have the ground lamb, and so it was this whole thing. But I finally decided, or maybe I checked right before I went, and the other one that's close to me had both. So I went, and when I went, they were out of lamb. I'm so frustrated. And it was, I hadn't been to that HEB in a long time. It was smaller, and this was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. It was just insane. But anyway, I bought ground beef, and it turned out really, really good. It had, the crust on it is a, okay, first of all, the book has like a whole bunch of different kinds of crusts. It's not just a tradition. They don't just have like a traditional pie crust. They have, there's some that have cheese in them. There are some, there's like a caramelized onion one, which you know I'll be hopping on. But anyway, this particular one had an olive oil crust. So it was basically flour and salt and olive oil, and you just mix it together with a fork and press it in. And I could have just eaten the crust. The crust was absolutely incredible. The filling itself was really pretty basic. It had, you know, ground meat and carrots cut into like carrot sticks, kind of. Supposed to have onions and just a bunch of different spices. And it was actually a pain in the, whatever, to put this thing together. It took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. I kept telling them, I'm like, we're never going to eat. This is never going
to
come together.
Do you
together.
Have to layer it, or can you mix it all together and just throw it in the pan?
Well, it was, this is one of those things where if I had planned it, it wouldn't have been so bad. And they're like, it even has instructions like for make ahead, which is one of the really great things about this book. It's like, this is what you can do to make ahead. And I should have paid attention to it, but there was just too much going on. So you do the crust, and the crust, I think, has to sit for a while. And then you have to cook the filling, and the filling has to cool before you can put it in. And I'm in the middle of the cooking the filling, and I'm like, what about the potatoes? Because it's, you know, it's a shepherd's pie. It's got potatoes on the top. I'm like, when do I do the potatoes? And I'm like, I haven't boiled potatoes. Like, so it took a long time. It was absolutely worth it. And I would make it again if I really paid attention and like did some of the steps ahead. I wouldn't do it certainly wouldn't do it on a weeknight. But that crust. Do you remember last year when Chris, who made the pecan pie, and all I could talk about was the crust. It was like, all I could talk about was this pie, and I was obsessed with this pie, and then I made it for Thanksgiving, and it wasn't, like, the crust wasn't, it wasn't great. But one of the things, like, he had sent me the recipe, and it had said you could use canola oil instead of butter or whatever other fat it used, and I had put it into the food processor and ended up with this just glob. I'm like, well, that didn't work. But after I made this crust, I'm like, that's what that crust tasted like. So now I know that I could do the same thing. And if I had done that and like pressed it in, it probably would have been fine. So I learned something. But man, that crust was great. And then, so for Thanksgiving, I also did one of the pies out of this. And I did the, it was a chocolate pecan pie with chocolate crust, and the only reason it's called a chocolate pecan pie is because you drizzled like bittersweet chocolate on it at the end, and my daughter doesn't really like dark chocolate, so I instead used salted caramel from the Sally's Baking Addiction website, which is a really, really easy recipe, and it's absolutely delicious. I made that the day before or something, and it was like, it's in the refrigerator. I kept grabbing spoonfuls of it. But so this one, the crust in this one was more like a traditional crust, but you put cocoa in it, and I wasn't super impressed with that crust. It was lacking something. So I think if I made that again, maybe I would mix it up and do the olive oil crust or something like that. But the filling was really, really good, and then the salted caramel was great on top of it. And this was one of those pies that was better after a few days. Like, it just set up a little bit. Yeah, it was really, really good. So this is a book I would really recommend. Everything, there are a lot of the savory recipes that I don't know that I would try just because there are ingredients that I don't really like that much. But it seems like when, if for the pie crusts alone, it's worth it. Reading and watching. I'll let you go.
Okay. I don't have that much. Last time I had talked about My Plain Jane, I did finish that. I made myself finish it. It was okay. It was, in my opinion, really hokey. And I don't know who should have been the main character. You know, in Jane Eyre, it's Jane Eyre. Mm-hmm. In Rochester. In this book, it was more of the Charlotte Bronte character. Yeah. That's kind of how it trended towards. I don't know. I didn't like it. It was okay. And then I've read a couple management books, which I don't think anybody really cares about. I'm not really reading anything right now. Kind of waiting for something to come in because I've been navigating my Overdrive holds, and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for something, and crickets.
Yeah. Well, I finished My Life on the Road by Gloria Steinem. That was a really good book. It did get a lot more political. I mean, I expected a political book from Gloria Steinem, but the like parts of it were more her relationships, and then parts of it were very much about the political stuff that she had done. It was interesting, and there were things that I learned in it. I gave it 4 stars, I think. I gave it at least 4 stars. I really, really liked it, and it was really readable. So I finished that. And then I just recently finished The Dragoneer, The Bonding, which is by Vicky and Danny. I don't know how to say their last name. Nestaut. K-N-E-S-T-A-U-T. But those of you in the knitting community might know Vicky as Bird Leg Bags. She used to have the Bird Leg Bags Etsy shop, and recently closed her shop so that she could focus on writing with her husband. And they recently released this book. I think it was released in October on Amazon, and the second one is supposed to come out in a couple of weeks. And this book was so good. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm not just saying it because I like Vicky and consider her, a friend. But it grabbed my attention. It's a YA book about a girl who has a special connection with dragons. It's set in a fantasy world. I don't know. It's not. It's kind of feels like Danish or something like that. I don't know. Like, it feels European and feels old. I'm sure there's a term for that. But the really, really strong female protagonist. And the really good characterization. I gave it 4 stars. There was a little bit of editing issues. It's self-published. That's often the case, I think. But I've read self-published stuff that needed way more editing than this did. So that was minor. But I really, really enjoyed it. If you are into YA fantasy, especially if you like dragons, this was the best description of dragons and like Dragonflight that I've ever read. Really, really enjoyed it. And then I am currently reading Black Eyed Susans by Julia Heberlin. I read Paper Ghosts by her recently. And I just started this one a couple of days ago, and I'm not too terribly far into it, but I'm enjoying it so far. I don't know that I can tell the premise exactly, but the main character was a victim of a serial killer, but she survived. And there were I don't know how many girls that he had that were his victims, and they were found in a bed of Black Eyed Susans, so they were called the Black Eyed Susans. And she's now an adult, and the man that was convicted for killing her is about to be executed. And there was a woman who worked for it. They haven't called it the Innocence Project, but it's similar to that, where people are working to get people off death row who were wrongfully convicted based on lack of DNA evidence or whatever. And she has decided to help with this investigation because I don't know why yet, but so far it's really good. It's creepy. I don't have it on here. I was going to mention, I started listening to My Favorite Murder because I keep hearing people talk about it. I've listened to like 2 episodes of that, and I'm reading this, and then of course I started dreaming about serial killers, so I'm not sure that this is the best tactic.
We have one in my hometown.
Yeah. Well, you should send it in because they love the, that's their, like,
there was a book written about them, and like when I started at the library, I LOL'd it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any particular like lore of.
We had one,
but yeah. I'm enjoying that podcast. I keep hearing about it, but it's one of those that's hard to jump into because it's been going for 3 years and it's so super popular that I don't know where to go. So I listened to a recent episode, liked it, and so I went back to the beginning. And I don't know that I'll listen. They have a lot of the episodes are live episodes, like that they do with their live shows, and I don't know. I'll probably listen to one and see if it's worth listening to those. But they've gotten so incredibly popular that it almost detracts from what it was. But I don't know. I guess that's it. And I seriously doubt we will record again before January. I don't intend.
Maybe New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or something.
Yeah, that's possible.
In that time frame.
But for those of you who celebrate, we hope you have a really great holiday season. Try not to go insane and do all of the things and take care of yourselves. And we will talk to you probably in the new year.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.